I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone, and welcome to Come for Supper. I'm Alexandra Dudley, food writer, cook, and serial dinner party host. So I thought it'd be fun to sit down with people who share that love for food, chat about life, and learn a little bit more about how they like to serve supper. I speak to chefs, restaurateurs, artists, actors, authors, and pretty much anyone who likes to entertain. If you're new to the podcast, make sure you click subscribe. And if you enjoy it, rate it, review it, share it, and tell your friends, as it makes all the difference. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. My guest today is somewhat of a food phenomenon. Having inspired his friends to cook by way of simple recipes, he set about encouraging students everywhere to get creative in the kitchen. His method was simple: delicious recipes that feed four for under a tenner. His one-minute how-to videos went viral, gaining him a host of avid fans, amassing to over 250,000 Instagram followers, a 2-cookbook deal, and a collaboration with one of the leading kitchenware companies to create the Mob Box, which contains everything you'll ever need in a Mob kitchen. By now, you may have guessed it, it's Ben Liebus, founder of Mob Kitchen. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the studio. Where have you come from this afternoon?
I have come from our studio in Bermondsey.
Cool. So what's going on there today then?
We've just been filming some Christmas content. We're getting loaded up. I'm giving everyone a break from, I think we're finishing on the 19th and everyone's back on the 9th.
Okay.
So we're just banking up on content. So we're going to have a couple of people editing it throughout the period.
Nice.
And yeah, we made a slow roast camembert with grapes and balsamic vinegar on the grapes and homemade garlic, kind of soldier crouton type things.
Yum.
Which was very good.
Yeah, and more than simple as well, quite impressive.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, not getting too philosophical, but I think that's ultimately what we really try and do with Mob is a lot of the recipes that we go for. You know, there are a million and one different 1-minute how-to videos on how to bake a camembert with some fairly gross-looking dunking bread things that don't look dressed up or anything. So it's always about doing... We always try and kind of like add like a little element, like the roasted grapes around it or whatever, that's like that little extra touch.
Mm-hmm. Yum, and
that
delicious.
Students wouldn't normally think of, basically. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I know that food was something that always interested you growing up, and so I thought we'd start with one of your earliest food memories.
Mm. So I had to think, I reckon, so I've got two that come to mind. Apparently one time, I always loved getting naked when I was very young, up until about the age of four, would constantly be ripping my clothes off.
Most and apparently, good people do.
Yeah, and apparently one time my mum came down and found me in the kitchen and they had had a bowl full of avocados and I'd broken them all open and rubbed them all over my body and so I was like basically green, which mum and dad find very funny. And then... I guess one that's a bit more like personal to me in my relationship with cooking is I remember I watched a Jamie at Home and there was an episode where he like took a pot of hummus that, you know, looks a bit ugly in its plastic packaging and then he put it onto a plate and spread it out really nicely with olive oil and maybe a little dusting of cumin and some salt and some pepper on top. And I could remember seeing that and just thinking how beautiful it looked and how lovely that kind of presentation was. And so I kind of did the exact same when mum asked for me to go and get it with some carrots or whatever, and I put it all on this plate and made it look all lovely. And I remember bringing it in and her kind of reacting and getting a little bit annoyed and just being like, you're an idiot, like we only want a little bit and that's all going to go to waste now because we're not exactly going to put it back in, which is kind of understandable. But it was... it's the earliest thing that I can remember where I was like really into the presentation of food and making something like look really lovely for the sake of that, really. Mm-hmm. Even though it was slightly impractical.
Well, a creative flair.
Yeah.
I mean, so did you ever think you'd go into something food related? You know, I know that you went to Edinburgh to study history, is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
I nearly went to do that, didn't.
Nice.
And your father owned a restaurant as well.
Yeah, dad owned an Italian restaurant in Oxford called Cibo for 15 years. It was right opposite where I went to school.
Okay.
So me and my mates would go there every day. And
nice.
It was an amazing, like, traditional kind of like Italian trattoria vibe, like very no fuss, simple, delicious pasta dishes, delicious meat and fish, but super simple. I've always been a massive foodie. Truthfully, I didn't really know what I wanted to get into. I kind of jumped into history as a degree because I was quite good at it and knew I could write essays, but didn't really have any real love for history. It was just because it was kind of seen as like the next step after graduating, after finishing high school. To be honest, I just didn't really know throughout university what I wanted to do. I was terrified when my mates were applying for internships and grad schemes and how involved the answers were when it was like, you know, how long have you known you've wanted to do this? And like, since I was 2 years old, I've wanted to be a charter surveyor or something. It's like, who the hell has any idea on that level?
I agree.
Actually for 3 years at uni, I'd put on art shows with my mate, Milo.
Yeah, because you were quite entrepreneurial. I read something about you selling advertising on putting advertising on bottles and then giving them to cab drivers so that they gave them to people to look at. So it was kind of advertising and then also running a kind of mini art gallery or something.
Yeah, so the water bottle thing never really happened. But I do remember is like when I was 13, 14, very early on being like obsessed with this idea of, I don't know, like emails and like things coming through and like projects going on. And then, the art thing was a little bit more serious. We basically found kind of like young, hot artists at the art colleges and put on art shows for them. So we did two kind of like big art shows for two different artists, Jack and Renee. And then we did like a big, it was called like the Parade Presents Art Prize.
Okay, cool.
We were Parade Presents.
A prize, that's great.
Yeah, and so we got, we invited like submissions from artists all across the country. We got like 2,000 submissions.
Wow.
And we got, Milo is very well connected in like the art world. So we got some great judges and we had this huge space in Shoreditch, like 500 people turned up. It was on the hottest day of the year. And I think the moment I realized we might have got it slightly wrong is when I walked outside and I saw like someone in my wider friendship circle sitting outside with a bottle of vodka that he had brought along. And he said to me, why is everyone sitting here? Or why is everyone at this event? Because he actually didn't know that it was an art prize. It was just, it turned out to just be like a, 500 person social gathering type thing. But I've always kind of wanted to be exploring different ideas.
Yeah,
or
had a buzz.
Yeah.
A business buzz.
Yeah, exactly.
So you began working on Mob while still at university, even if it didn't have its name then. Can you talk us through the very early idea, like where it initially started and then how you brought it to where it is now?
Yeah, so I've always been an avid foodie and have always loved cooking and, really relished the opportunity to be able to get into my own kitchen when we went into our second year in Edinburgh. So I moved in with four other friends and the girls were great in the kitchen, but the guys were pretty clueless and didn't have a kind of foodie background as well. So I quickly saw that they... the thing that seemed to come second, it's kind of like second nature to me, whacking together a nice salad or a nice pasta, which I also loved and enjoyed doing, that they didn't feel confident doing that. So they were making the same dishes, crappy dishes, pesto, pasta, bacon, sarnies, beans on toast, tin tomato soup, every night of the week. And they also weren't going to the spaces that I was going to find new recipes, Jamie or BBC Good Foods. There just wasn't really a cool space at all online for them that was showing them how to cook like good food on a budget.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything more sad than those like traditional student cookbooks with like a horrible, like ugly photograph of like baked beans on toast, like 700 cheap student recipes.
Yeah, no, it's true. But equally, I think those websites that you talk about were especially then so geared towards kind of you know, mums and kind of middle class women.
Yeah.
That's who their client was.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, there are two sides of this. I mean, obviously, Jamie and BBC Good Food are amazing, and they really serve great recipes to a certain demographic. So you've got them, but you're right, they weren't catering for students.
Yeah, they weren't applicable, I guess.
But then the spaces or the books that were catering to students were just really depressing. So, basically, in that second year, I started writing a little blog called Why Chef. I was going to be like the chef of Generation Y.
Okay, cool.
And I ended up writing like 5 recipes. It was just a Tumblr and it had absolutely zero following. But all of those recipes fed me and my housemates for under a tenner. So just kind of beginning to latch onto this idea of...
So that under a tenner thing was a thing?
Yeah.
From day one, that was a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
And wanting to, you know, latch on to something that everyone would find relatable. Mm-hmm. I'm really wanting to kind of like press home that you didn't have to be massively wealthy to cook like a really cool, like attractive, delicious dish. And then I kind of let that slide, and this was like sort of before Instagram. This was really before like this thing of like taking photographs and uploading it to a space and hashtagging all that kind of stuff. And then in my final year of Edinburgh, when I was writing my dissertation, there was that big explosion in overheard food videos, as pioneered by BuzzFeed's channel Tasty, and they were releasing 2 a day, and it was like, you know, viral food content at its best, and I was obsessed with it. It was completely new and unique, and what they had done was amazing, kind of creating that. And I would wait around for the videos every day. I thought they were so genius, but then I became underwhelmed by how much of it seemed to revolve around food porn and getting kind of mindless engagements rather than with the end in mind of actually going to get people to go and buy the ingredients in the recipe and cook it themselves at home. I've still to this day never heard anyone say the sentence, I'm going to use a Tasty or Tastemade recipe for dinner. I've never heard anyone say that.
They're always semi-ridiculous, aren't they? Kind of like sky-high burgers and macaroni-filled pizza and just kind of absurdly slightly gross.
Well, that's the point. And they do it for the engagement. And they'd never had that base kind of ethos in mind that they actually wanted to get people to cook the dishes. And it does seem ridiculous that actually, for our generation, Tasty have a much bigger profile and following than any other food chef, you know, foodie or chef we know. Way bigger.
Yeah.
And probably you ask most people, you know, between my age and, 17, 18, you talk about like food videos online, they'll say Tasty.
Yeah. And BuzzFeed. Yeah.
And BuzzFeed.
And Mob.
Maybe now, hopefully, yeah. Hopefully Mob now. But anyway, the point was I was captivated by the content and loved it. So I thought to myself, what about, you know, using this kind of content format that is obviously bringing in my demographic and really captivating everyone's attention, and combining that with the original recipes that I wrote in second year. So having this, making these food videos, but food videos you're actually going to use. And so, yeah, I had that idea and spoke to 2 guys I was at uni with who had an amateur kind of a production company. And I had £600 and I gave it to them and I said, I would need to film 20 recipes when we graduate uni this summer. So I wrote 20 recipes. We booked out a week in Mum and Dad's kitchen in Oxford. They came down. I mean, we were like winging it. We'd never seen a food studio before ever. This was just like from what we could gauge from the overhead videos on Tasty. And so we hired out the lights, we hired out a camera. It was just like a crappy little stand and a Sony A7S shooting down. We were using daylight. So like there are videos where, I don't know, a cloud like comes over the sun and you can see it, you know, on the dish. And we had a very intense week filming all the recipes. We got them all filmed, loaded up onto like 4 different hard drives. They went off for the summer. I went off for the summer. One of them, the main guy who was filming, got a really great job in a big production company. And so they kind of dropped the ball a bit. They were also meant to be doing all the editing, and they dropped the ball on it completely, really. So we sort of parted ways. I took all the hard drives, taught myself how to edit, edited all the videos, In that summer, also created the brand, this amazing girl, Oki McGill, who's a kind of illustrator. She was a friend of mine and is a friend of mine and created like a, you know, the beginning start mob brand. And yeah, launched it in October 2016.
And the rest is history. I mean, it was those videos are really what kind of, you know, took it to the next level from it just being recipes that you were writing. I wonder if it would have happened.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You know,
not.
Without that, because we eat with our eyes. I mean, yeah. I guess that's why Instagram is so successful and why restaurants now design their entire interiors based around people being able to take photos of the
Absolutely,
food. So they
yeah.
will consider that when they decide where to put spotlights, for example, which is just bizarre, but clearly incredibly important. I know that you have the cookbooks as well, which is congratulations. So do they follow the same format as the online? They're also for Feeding Four for Under a Tenner.
Yeah, so the first two were Feeding Four for Under a Tenner. The first one was just like, you know, meat, veggie, vegan, whatever.
And then you got and then we did Veggie Mob.
Mob Veggie, yeah. Which is obviously just vegetarian recipes. And then our third cookbook, which is coming out in August or September of this year, is Speedy Mob.
Oh, speedier than, I mean, because they're all quite speedy.
No, they're
Although
not,
they're
actually.
Not. I
yeah,
mean, you've
no.
got slow cook stuff, or like,
slow
even
stuff, lasagnas,
roasting a chicken or something.
Parmesanas,
is not, yeah.
chicken thighs. Yeah. It's good and it's delicious, but actually a lot of them do take a bit of time.
Yeah.
I'm so lazy in the kitchen now.
Yeah.
I think maybe through years and years of having to do 2, 3, 4 recipes every day.
You just want something simple.
I want to get big flavour in out in as quick a period
I'm
of time
as
possible.
Well,
So the cookbook is every single recipe can be cooked in under 12 minutes.
Wow.
It's not a remotely relaxed cooking experience.
Okay.
So there's no talking to friends. There's no...
Okay. This is serious.
Yeah, serious. We're kind of like billing it as like more of a challenge. So I think the thing about...
That's fun, though. I think that will appeal to the kind of mob audience, won't it?
Getting a tune on and like smashing it out with your friends. I think the thing that, so it beats Jamie by 3 minutes,
okay.
Which I'm going to make very clear at the start of the book. But I think the thing that was kind of really deceiving about Jamie's 15-minute meals and 30-minute meals, which like to this day, every single person that talks about those two books always talk about how it doesn't actually come in under that time.
It took my brother and dad 3.5 hours to make one of his 30-minute
really?
Meals. Yeah, because they have to chop everything. It doesn't count for chopping.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
So that is definitely something we've referenced in this book. So there's a lot of grating onions or grating carrots, really using a box grater, or, you know, if button mushrooms or cherry tomatoes are going into a dish, don't be afraid to use your hands, you know, like crush things in rather than thinking. So I think that's another thing with our generation. You know, we become more and more disassociated with food and the food that we're eating. I think people just really literally don't know how to handle food in the kitchen. So they get very nervous around chopping and, you know, having to make sure that things are done in the right and proper way. I think we want to try and bring it back to people just having a very free relationship with food, you know, chucking things in, breaking things apart with your hands, tearing it, crushing it. But the other thing that I think is sort of the downfall in a way, I mean, they're very successful books, but kind of the downfall of the time promise in Jamie's is that in the TV shows, there are these scenes of him kind of chatting to camera as the clock is ticking down, not doing anything. And you're sitting there on the edge of your seat like, oh my God, like, get back to it, mate. Get back to it, like, this clock's running down. And it gives off this kind of false sense of security that you go into and you're like, well, if Jamie can, like, chat through all of this and be really relaxed, and maybe so can I. And so we're really just going to be like, in order to get it to under 12 minutes, you really have to go for it. But but they've been all tested 5 or 6 times, and they have all been done in under 12 minutes. So
great, so
I'm really excited about it.
Do you have certain food types or kind of cuisines that do really well then?
Definitely. These are trade secrets, so I feel people should be paying for this and listeners. But anything with gnocchi, anything with chorizo.
Really? Gnocchi?
Gnocchi, any dish goes crazy. Chorizo, everyone loves. The biggest one is halloumi.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Any dish with halloumi just pops off. Rice noodles.
Yep.
Peanuts and peanut butter. All cheeses. Pasta
is always a winner. Also anything yolk with a yolk.
Absolutely.
An egg
yolk. Yolk porn, that kind of thing. Like rösties.
Okay.
Interesting thing, you know, sort of like fakeaway dishes yeah. that people really only thought that they could eat while on holiday or at a takeout, you know, kebab van, show, you know, our most successful ever video, which I think says a lot about the English population, is our homemade doner kebab.
Okay. Wow, that's so funny.
And it is, I mean, it's super easy. You just get a, you know, you just get like a, you get 500 grams of lamb mince with some garlic, cumin, paprika. I mean, you can change these spices, fennel seeds, salt and pepper, and just mix it together with your hands and form it into one big ugly lump, and then wrap tin foil around it and chuck it in the oven. And then it comes out and it look, you know, you've got like your baby, like doner.
Baby kebab, yeah.
And that popped off. It's got like, I don't know, it's sounding like 5 or 6 million views across our platforms. Yeah, and it, we get so many recreations of the recipe. So
that's incredible.
So yeah, definitely there are through the, you know, over the last 3 years of Mob, there are definitely like things that we're becoming aware of. If you know, definitely with like client videos now as well, when they come to us and they're like, we want to make sure we get really high views on this, on this recipe, we have certain things that we can pull in that we know will just
will work, will make it work. Wow, that's all so clever. So let's talk a little bit about entertaining. Do you like to entertain? Do you get much time?
I do like to entertain. As long as the dish that I'm cooking is not too strenuous, then I love cooking for my friends and for my girlfriend and for my family. So yeah, no, I love doing that.
What's a bit of a kind of signature move? Like, let's say, would you do like a starter main pudding, or what kind of, say you've got six people coming over, bit of a special evening, not massively in, like, special event, just a Friday night?
If I was like really pushing, if I was taking it easy, I'd say I'm obsessed with olives. Olives are my favorite food. I tend to
specific
eat
olives.
I love Kalamata olives, mozzarella olives.
All the good olives.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like high-end olives.
High-end olives.
Cured black olives, actually. They're almost like
salty.
The
kind of Greek ones.
Yeah, really kind of dried. Definitely. Or Moroccan as well. And
nice.
They're almost, they're not alcoholic, obviously, because they're an olive, but they're so intense in flavour.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the, like the standard pitted black olive,
yeah,
I can't stand.
Yeah, so grim. Disgusting. It's not even an olive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, if I was taking it easy, I'd probably just do a few bowls of olives. But if I was probably going a bit more involved, baba ganoush. I love making a homemade baba ganoush. So maybe a baba ganoush and like some chips or homemade chips or something, pita chips. We got a great recipe for that on Mob. And then the dish that all of my friends are loving at the moment is our vodka rigatoni.
Oh, wow.
And so it's super, very rich tomatoey pasta, but you do chop an onion, grate a garlic, two cloves of garlic, whack it into a frying pan with some olive oil, fry them down, then add a whole, the key is adding tomato puree, not passata, so more intense flavor. Yeah. Add a whole thing of tomato puree, then pour in some double cream, add about 150 mils of vodka, and it just bubbles down into this beautiful sauce, grate in some red chili, salt and pepper, and then toss in the pasta.
Delicious.
With lots of pasta water and basil. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, wow. Also, tomato puree is probably cheaper than buying like passata anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about 50. One of my like, my almost like my special trick now is I know the exact price of like basically
random
ingredient
yeah.
in the supermarket. Okay. So tomato puree is 50p from Tesco.
Okay, okay.
And so,
do you base all your prices then on Tesco? Do you go to like the...
Yeah, so we don't have the feed forefront or a tenner thing on the platform now. I think we were finding all of the recipes are affordable and they're all kind of done with budget
that in mind. Yeah,
but it was becoming slightly restrictive because there were times when something might come to £10 and like 20p and we wouldn't be able to do it. It would also mean that, you know, there are times when people have a little bit more cash to spend, if they're wanting to impress the weekends with a bigger group of friends for a party, and having some options on the website that would cater for that is important, while also, you know, always making sure that you keep the budget in mind.
Yeah, and I think also certain ingredients, things like tahini and stuff, they cost more, but they last, or miso paste, but they last a really long time, and they really do last a long time, and they really are applicable to other stuff. So it's
exactly.
As long as you have enough content that uses them, people will just kind of hopefully use their imagination.
Exactly.
Cocktail man, then? Would you do a cocktail?
I'm pretty straightforward. Vodka, like fresh orange juice.
Yeah, okay, nice.
Yeah.
Nice and classic.
Yeah.
Any tips or kind of do's or don'ts when entertaining or cooking for kind of a group?
I think... I don't think there's anything more gross than leaving a kitchen where you've been at a dinner party or if you've been cooking yourself and you just stink of either... Yeah. I mean, I find peppers weirdly really cling to clothes.
Okay, interesting.
I can't deal with my clothes smelling food.
Yeah, me neither.
Which is ironic, but I really... I think it's disgusting. when people would sit next to me in the library at Edinburgh and they'd come in, like, obviously having just made, like, a bacon sarnie in a closed kitchen. It's so antisocial. I think smells is an important thing. So probably maybe rein it in on the peppers or the onions, or, you know, definitely try and keep people out of the kitchen when you know you're getting a particularly steamy period. Chorizo and bacon, you know, really like fog things up. And then probably, you know, I would say try and keep it in small number of pans and trays, because by the time you're eating and you've had some drinks, you're not going to want to do the washing up that night, and then you wake up in the morning to a horrible scene in the kitchen, which is always pretty depressing on a hangover.
And have you had any kitchen disasters? Any time, actually. It doesn't have to be just during a dinner party. It could be any time.
I think one... Probably when it came to filming the, you know, when we were just getting into this. So we filmed the first batch of 20 videos with this production crew that I was at Edinburgh with. And then when we parted ways, I then needed to find a new cameraman, basically. So a friend of mine who I was at school with since I was 4 years old, called Rupert, is a very keen videographer. And I basically got him on board to film the recipes. I gave him a steak and mob, small steak and mob. And he had a full-time job, so he would come up on weekends. We'd film 10 to 15 recipes in 2 days. He would then go back down and work for the next 2 weeks in London, and I would spend those 2 weeks editing and uploading and managing the platform. And one time he came up and he... One time he came up and it was one of our first clients, Tofu, T-O-F-O-O.
You know, I know you mean. The organic, it's really good tofu.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard. Yeah, you can do firm. So much with
exactly.
it. Firm, that's the word, yeah. It's great, that stuff.
Yeah, it's
weirdly,
amazing.
I'm eating that tonight.
Oh, really?
I've got a packet expires today. It's got to be eaten.
They're lovely. David and Lydia are a couple who own it, and they're lovely, and they really showed faith in Mob right at the beginning gave us some money to make 5 recipes, and we had this really intense day of filming, 5 recipes with mum and dad, like trying to, I mean, it was so stressful. I look back and wonder how we got through it, but we did this whole day of filming, and Rupert then went back down to London that evening, and I woke up in the morning, plugged in the hard drive to start editing, and every single recipe was just like one touch out of focus.
Oh no.
Every video, and it, more of a kind of camera nightmare, I guess.
Yeah, but still there's still that heartfelt kind of pain and stuff,
yeah it was awful. It was like gutting,
yeah, horrendous.
And so that's why I got so worried when I saw that memory card
on the floor.
The number of like horrific experiences that we've had with memory cards and footage,
it's the worst. I've got to back up my laptop tonight, actually. I was thinking about it. It was really warm and I suddenly just had a complete panic.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And what about dinner parties you've been to, or even kind of dining experience, just eating experiences? Do you have one that's really stuck with you? It can be good or bad.
I... none of my friends are that good at cooking, so the dinner parties have always been like
at your
fairly
house.
Yeah, my house, or actually probably, but also quite kind of simple and basic. I think in terms of a dining experience that I love, my favorite restaurant in London is a restaurant called Aphrodite, which is a kind of like traditional Greek taverna in on the Hereford Road.
Okay.
And I'm obsessed with it, and I go there like twice a month with my best friends, and absolutely love it. So yeah, I don't know.
Greek food fan. Dinner party gifts. If you're going to a dinner party, what do you bring with you?
Maybe a bit of green and blacks, 85%.
Nice one. And what would you like to be brought if you could be brought anything?
Probably the same.
Yeah, that's a good way to think. I often bring something I want.
I think I like it when my mates cover the booze or like desserts.
Bring a bottle.
Exactly. Yeah.
So one of the things I love about Mob Kitchen are the mob tips, and also that kind of emphasis on making use of leftovers. Like I was looking yesterday or this morning, there's a recipe for kind of using turkey. You know, there's always that joke about turkey curry, but it's like a turkey... Is
turkey
it a bao? Banh mi, that's what it is, which is great. But you also have really clever tips like freezing wine, which I never thought about until this morning when I saw that on there, which is genius for kind of a rainy day risotto or something.
But I think it is good, yeah. We got like loads of kickback on that one, weirdly, because everyone was like, what's leftover wine? And it's just like such a lame comment.
But there's always leftover wine.
I guess I always have it, but I mean,
but
apparently for all the boozers who are our followers.
Wine were... for a risotto, and then you've got a bit more crap wine left.
No, exactly. Yeah. I think maybe we phrased it badly. I think we kind of phrased it of like, if you've got any wine like leftover, like after a night out or something, where I think most people are like, we'd never just have a little bit left, you know, it would be drunk, but whatever. But I think the... we're getting more and more into that kind of, you know, offering little tips and tricks that are outside of the kind of standard recipe format.
Yeah.
And I think cutting down on waste, you know, being more sustainable in the kitchen is something that we're really focusing on and trying to push through really small little things. You know, we don't want to kind of like scare people with big reams of text and kind of learnings and citations and all that kind of thing. I think just like little relatable daily hacks that people can kind of like see and think, ooh, that's a good idea. And one that I think is amazing that one of my team found is if you wanted some lemon juice.
Yeah, this is so clever. Prodding a lemon.
Prod your
again,
lemon.
Again, virgin of this till today. Yeah, and I'm just
literally.
Like, wow. And then I see this kind of manky half-cut lemon.
Yeah.
So you basically, you prod it with what, like a scissors
like
or
a
knife
chopstick
or something?
Or prod it with a chop. You want something that's kind of like a bit more pointy.
Even like the end of a scissor.
Yeah, end of a scissor,
do.
Yeah.
Or, and then squeeze it
or
like
a pencil.
That. Yeah, a pencil.
And then you just squeeze it. You've got to be a little bit, you know, you've got to kind of manipulate
it. Yeah.
It a bit. But it does work. Like a shoot of juice will come out of the lemon.
And then you haven't got it kind of going mouldy and exposed to the elements.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you can
really
chuck
clever.
It back in the fridge and just keep on going. So that's, and we've got our three big launches happening next year, and one of them is a brand new website that we've spent an inordinately large amount of money on and is really
great.
Epic.
Okay.
It's like epic.
Okay.
It's changing the game
on food
websites. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I'm
and
excited.
So everyone's going to be able to have their own profile. You're going to be able to save recipes into different kind of chapters, Pinterest style. It's going to be great because we can, you know, host loads of different content. I find with Instagram it's difficult because if you're, you know, a content producer like we are, there are so many different things competing for that one space. But on a website, there's much more space. We've got this quite cool function that our amazing design team Omsi did, where you can click on a recipe and then you look at the recipe and then you can click go, and it kind of turns into like a city mapper style viewer of like your progress through the recipe.
Oh, cool.
Which is really awesome.
So
and
you can see when there's time to kind of pour a glass of wine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, for the times when there's a specific timer bit, there are timers that you can add that kind of run down on the website and do a little alarm when they've got to the bottom. So we're really, really pumped about that. And you know, the reason why I'm so excited as well is it means that, you know, things like Mob Tips or our other series, kind of Guest Mob, Street Mob, it's all going to have more kind of chance to shine and mm-hmm. have its own place, basically.
That's wicked. Sounds great. And music is a kind of big factor in mob as well, which is something I think that got people with it. I love it because I think music is so intrinsically kind of connected to having fun. Mm-hmm. And cooking is so fun. Mm. And more, I sound so old, but more and more young people are having fun cooking and finding that cooking is fun, probably right. because of things like mob or just the success and kind of explosion of food culture that more and more people are cooking. But I wanted to ask, before our final questions, do you have a top cooking track?
The track that I listened to a lot when we were doing the cooking all the recipes for 12 Speedy Mob. Mm-hmm. was Nina Simone's Cinnamon.
Okay, great song.
Yeah, super high intensity, high energy. Mm-hmm. I think always, like with all the music that we put in the videos and in the playlists and in the books, there's always a kind of look to make sure that it's very upbeat, kind of high tempo, positive music.
In case when things go wrong and you're like, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it makes it more enjoyable. Like, there's nothing worse than sitting in a restaurant and then, like, Coldplay Fix You comes on. And, like, however happy your dining experience is, it suddenly ruins. And you just want to go up and, like, have a word with the manager and just be like, you know, because it is very, it's a powerful thing, music. The way that, you know, what it can have on the energy or the vibe of the room.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Nina Simone, Cinnamon, I'd
great,
go for.
Great one.
Wait, what was
it? You can have another one if you want.
A band that we're loving at the moment is called Bear Jams.
Okay.
And again, like very kind of like upbeat, rocky kind of jazz music. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Cool. Okay, so your top three ingredients that you advise to always have in the kitchen to throw together a quick dish.
I don't know if they'd really be used together, but
they don't have to be used together.
Yeah.
They can be.
Yeah. So ginger. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with ginger, and I think that it just adds to any Asian dish. So noodles, you know, when you're cooking rice, putting in the ginger peels to make that more fragrant. Any rice dishes, curries, anything. Having it in tea with mint if you're feeling ill. I think it's just such a delicious, versatile ingredient. Then I'm obsessed with vinegar. So I would say a bottle of apple cider vinegar or white wine vinegar. My girlfriend thinks that I use it much too liberally, but I think it just adds, you know, it's like that thing, it adds like that twang to sauces.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, in any Asian recipes or pasta sauces, stews, anything, a little splash of vinegar is great. And then I'm a tomato fanatic, so I would say probably a tin of tomatoes, which would just make making any kind of easy pasta sauce doable, any stew, great in soups.
Good.
Ginger, vinegar, and tin tomatoes.
All easy and easily acquirable as well.
Exactly.
I mean, you can even get ginger from your corner shop
Absolutely.
These days most of the time. And then lastly, if you could have anyone in the world, alive or dead, to your ultimate supper, who would you have and why?
My icon growing up was Arsene Wenger.
Really?
Okay. I'm a big Gunner. Not so like daily interested in how Arsenal are doing at the moment, especially right now. But I loved Arsene Wenger growing up. It was kind of also like a father figure in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And seems like a very intelligent and kind and interesting man. I've also never met Jamie, and he was my... I've been in a room with him and like saw him come in and was like amazed at the star power that he had. Everyone seemed to like hush when he walked in.
Oh, wow.
But he was my like absolute idol chef growing up, seeing him on Jamie at Home.
Yeah.
Just so relaxed, and what he was doing with food, just super laid back and accessible. So I'd love the opportunity to sit and just like chat to him.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this question and, you know, like, you'd have to make sure that they were really engaged and into the fact that they were at the dinner party as well. Because I could also imagine getting such big stars there and they'd be a bit like, what am I doing here?
No, but I feel like they will get on.
Yeah, maybe. Jamie, Arsene Wenger. And
yeah, Benny and he would be so... So yeah, well, you've got one more.
I've got one more. Maybe another foodie. Who would be a great foodie? I'd get Keith Floyd in.
You'd get Keith Floyd in.
To get the overall vibe and ambiance up.
Okay, yeah.
And I also love, I love seeing him on camera and has a very easy, relax. I always really admire when, I mean, we've done like some, I've done some kind of YouTube stuff or whatever. And I, you know, I'm in complete admiration of people who, you know, rather than even just having like a camera persona, which I feel like everyone can kind of get after a lot of practicing, where you know that they are being completely, truly themselves.
On camera, that's the hardest
thing. It's very,
thing, I think.
Very rare. I actually really think only Jamie has that in food at the moment.
I think Nigella has that though.
I always feel like it's a bit scripted. It's always like, it's like these long, elaborate
sentences.
Because
she's eloquent. Well, do you know, but have you ever read her writing? Because she writes like that as well. And
really?
I think your writing is often your true voice. I think if we all went around talking like the way that we wrote, you know, we'd all sound really romantic and poetic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But actually, sometimes the way that you write is that kind of true, true language. And I think when she's on camera, she gets to come out. I mean,
cool.
I'm also such a Nigella is to me what Jamie is to you.
Although really?
That time, I remember watching them both. That kind of, you know, just like being obsessed with it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, great. That was fantastic. Well, thank you so much. So
thank
for
you.
Listeners who aren't already following Mob Kitchen, where can we kind of find you? Where's the best place to kind of keep in the loop?
So www.mobkitchen.co.uk. And that's it.
Yeah, and then Instagram, of course.
Yeah, but just go to the website.
Bypass the social media.
Because the website will be live in, you know, the next few weeks.
Okay.
And that is where we are going to be putting 100% of our attention.
Okay.
And you don't need anything else. So
okay,
maybe a quick glimpse on Instagram as well, but
okay,
mainly
fab.
The website.
For that daily inspiration, that's
really exactly.
Beautiful. Wicked. Well, thank you so much. That
thank
was
you.
Fab. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you liked it, rate it, review it, talk about it, share it, and invite your friends round for supper. This has been a Studio 71 production. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.